It's always an honor and a privilege to worship God as one body, one heart, one soul. And I pray you're here for that purpose. We're going to turn our attention now to the next little bit, and we're going to hear from God and see some things that He expects. I titled the lesson this morning, When Bad Things Happen. We're going to take the text from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles open there. Bad things are going to happen in life. And for people to teach or believe that bad things don't happen, do not understand who we are on this earth. When bad things happen, we must deal with it properly. And that means we have to deal with it according to the power that the Lord provides. Bad things are going to happen. But when bad things happen to you and I in Jesus, it's not a loss. And I hope you hear that well. Bad things happen to people in Jesus. But it's not a loss at any time. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. Peter is addressing the saints, the Christians. They've been scattered. Scattered from their homeland. They're living in areas. I mean, we could go back to Acts chapter 8. And when there's a persecution began at the church in Jerusalem, you know what happened? It scattered the church. Sometimes you have to leave your homeland. Sometimes your home, because difficulties arise. Situations become difficult. And you have to go to other places. That would be difficult to do. We see on the news time to time when situations happen, whether or not, you know, through lack of food, war, whatever it may be, people just up and they have to leave their homeland. And all they've got to carry is what they can put on their back. Well, here these people were. They're scattered throughout all these regions. These are our brethren. And they may be someday you and me. But one thing he says about these people that are scattered, he says they reside as aliens. You know, they're strangers. They're foreigners in the land that they're living in, the areas that they're living in. And you know, when you are living as an alien in a place, as a foreigner, I'll tell you what, life can get difficult real quick for you. Peter recognizes this about them. But I want you to see one word that he addresses about those who have been scattered, those who reside as aliens. It's at the end of verse 1. Who are chosen? You're a child of God. You're not just another face on this earth. Among 7 billion people. You are a child of God. You are His chosen. When you came to Jesus Christ, you became adopted by God. You're now His chosen. And so you know what He knows about His chosen? He knows bad things are going to happen to you. But I want you to know that when bad things happen, it does not alter your relationship. The relationship's still intact. You're still the chosen. Oh, it might be tough where you live. It might be a difficult circumstance that you live. But you're still a child of God. And God knows that. The problem is sometimes we don't believe that. Chosen. Look over real quick at chapter 2. Look at verse 12. Look at what the chosen have to go through at times. These that were scattered. Chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I mean, you're going to be slandered sometimes. There's going to be people who will take up slanderous accusations against you and against me. People are going to make false charges about you. It happens all the time. I've been through it. You've been through it. They're going through it, you know. And so, what do you do when people slander you? What do you do through all of this? He says, you keep your excellent behavior. And you know what you do? You do what is right in the eyes of God. Because you're His child. And He knows that and He cares for you. And He says there in verse 12, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers. Yeah, you're going to sometimes be slandered and be made out to be evil. Well, just because someone makes you out to be evil, if you're keeping a good behavior and you're walking with the Lord, it doesn't matter what they say. But you know what's going to come about? He says, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let it sink into our hearts, brethren. There is coming a day when every single injustice will be dealt with. Now the question is, do you believe it? Every wrong will be righted. Everything that we see is evil and is unfair, everything that we look at in life, there's coming a day the Lord's going to visit on the people and there's going to be some accountability required. And in the meantime, till you and I get to that day when bad things happen, we need to keep doing the will of the Lord. You keep doing what is right. And you and I have to put our faith in that. Let's don't just talk about it. Let's do it. So when that day comes and there's accountability required, they're going to say, you know, that person kept with the Lord and they kept doing the right things with the right attitude. And they'll end up glorifying God because of what you've done. Bad things are going to happen, but you still have to do the right thing and have faith in that the Lord will right the wrongs. Well, come on down to chapter 3 real quick. Look at verse 14. Right here, look what he tells us here. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. You know, a lot of times you're trying to do the right things. No matter, we may be talking about on the job, in the home, you know, just out in the world. You're going to suffer. Anything that's tied to God, the evil world is going to try to make you suffer. It's going to happen. And even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, what do you need to recognize? You're blessed. You are in favor with God. You're His chosen. You're not just someone on the face of the earth. You're the chosen of God. Now you are in the favor of God. You are blessed by God. And how many times when we go through difficulties do we forget that we've identified with God and we're going to let God be who God says He is toward us, even if we should suffer for doing what's right? You're blessed. You know what the right thing is to do when bad things happen? Look at the rest of verse 14. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. That's tough. There it is. Don't fear. Don't let them intimidate you, and don't be troubled by what's going on. Why? Because you're favored. You're blessed. And you and I need to put some faith in that. And we need to stay with the Lord because the Lord is aware when things go bad, He is aware of what you're going through, and you're His chosen, and He puts His blessings upon you, and He's going to make sure all wrongs will be righted. You see, the wrong move when bad things happen, the wrong move is to let fear and intimidation start taking over your life. And then we want everybody to know how bad it is. And God's saying, who am I? Who are you in relationship to me? What is all of this going on? No matter how bad things get, we're still the chosen of God. We're still favored by God. And God's going to take care of the wrongs and the injustices. And I need to put faith in that. Well, come over to chapter 4 real quick. One more here. Look at verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. As Peter writes this letter, there was something going on among the people of God that had been scattered. And he called it a fiery ordeal. This thing was painful. I'm not sure what all it is. I have a few little ideas, but they don't matter what my ideas are. The point is, they were going through some fiery ordeals. And he said, why are you surprised? Why, when bad things happen, when you got to go through a fiery ordeal that's painful, why are you acting surprised? Oh, I can't take it. It is difficult. I struggle with it too. But it doesn't change the fact that when you go through a fiery ordeal, it's for your testing. As a child of God, are you going to stay with God? It's for your benefit. You know, when bad things happen to us, let me tell you what the Lord's doing. He's trying to rid you of things that are weighing you down, things that you're focusing on, things that you're going after, you need to get rid of. Things that make you, that stand in the way between you and your relationship to God, get rid of that. Fiery ordeals come to help us and test us to get rid of the bad stuff in our lives. That's how He works it. And that's how He's going to continue to work it. We just need to know we're favored. We're blessed by God. We just need to know how to respond to it rightly. And not through fears or intimidations. Or not through, oh, I'm surprised this has happened to me. No, it's not like some strange thing coming on you. He said it comes on you for your testing. We're going to make you better when you come through. Sometimes our lives, we get lazy. We're just kind of going through and just living and going day in and day out. And all of a sudden, something hits. And we just crumble. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it's like it's strange. It's not strange. It's to help you get focused on the Lord because you've been lazy all this time. You've had a lot of good going on for a long time. You need to be tested so we can get rid of the junk and move us better toward the Lord. Lord knows that. We're His chosen. Bad things can happen. Well, it can come in another way. I want you to come back. Keep 1 Peter, Mark. We're going to come back here and end up here. I want you to come over to Acts chapter 11. Let me show you how other things can affect us. And because of our lack of understanding of Scripture, sometimes I'm amazed how little we really pay attention. In Acts chapter 11, look down at verse 28. These prophets come down from Jerusalem, okay? Look at verse 28. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. Agabus is a prophet. You know what he informs the church? from God, there's going to be a worldwide famine. Something is happening in this world and it's going to affect everybody. And it happened. Claudius was a Roman emperor from 41 to 54 A.D. And there was a great famine under Claudius. In all the world, there were people starving, you know, when you go back and read the history of it. But you know what? Famines can happen. Famines happen today. Sometimes we see famines in a nation. Certain locations, there's famines. And we watch people as they starve and people, well, why is that happening? Why do those things come about? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're living in one of those locations, or if you were living back here under the reign of Claudius when the worldwide famine, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to be faithful to the Lord. You're going to have to depend on Him for your resources. You can't sit and bellyache and, you know, you've got to understand it's affecting you. Famines come. And you've got to deal with it properly if you're in one of those areas. Or if you would have been back here at the time of the world. Well, let's take it a step further. Come back to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is about the destruction of Jerusalem. Forget what your headlines say on your Bibles. Man put those in there, okay? I want you to know that. That's not part of Scripture. Your headline might say the return of Jesus or something like that. Matthew 24 is about the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus is walking about Jerusalem, pointing out the temple and all the buildings in the temple. And He's teaching His apostles a lesson about the impending doom of Jerusalem. And look at what He says in verse 6. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened. For those things must take place, and that is not yet the end. That's not the end of time. In 70 A.D., Titus, a Roman general, sweeps down through Jerusalem and utterly decimates it, from which they never recover. And Jesus is trying to tell His disciples, His apostles here, you know what? Before Jerusalem is destroyed, guess what you're going to be hearing about? You're going to be hearing of wars. You're going to be hearing of rumors of wars. We don't like war. But Jesus is telling these apostles, hey, you're going to hear these rumors and these wars are going to be fought. Don't let it frighten you. I don't need you to do that. You need to deal with it properly, and it's not proper to let it make you fearful. These are coming on. Look at verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Here's some other things that are going to be happening. You're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear rumors of wars. There's going to be nations rising, kingdoms rising against each other, and there's going to be famines in places, and there's going to be earthquakes. You see, those are bad things can happen. And the Lord brings them on. And He has a purpose for bringing those on. But the Lord uses earthquakes and famines and what we call natural disasters. Let me throw this on the side while I got a moment. I don't know if it bothers y'all to hear people call the things that happen natural disasters Mother Nature. I don't think God's a mother. That's just me, okay? I'll just throw that out there for you. God causes them. And so, here comes these wars, these rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. You know, not to be frightened. God uses these elements for people in the world to realize He exists. There's someone greater than you in control. I don't care if we're talking about hurricanes. Someone greater. And God uses them so man would start focusing as the whole element of mankind. But if you're caught in one of those areas as the chosen, guess what? You're blessed. You're favored. Understand, God says, I want you to stick with me through it. Because I'm trying to help in these things. You know, I'll get the verse. Isaiah 26:9. It says, when the earth experiences the judgments of God, the wicked learn righteousness. Yeah. God uses these disasters, and you know what the wicked people of the earth learn? Righteousness. If you notice, every time we go through a war or we go through a disaster in this nation, you notice how people soften. You ever pay attention to that? Yeah. Before, people are just going about their own way, doing their own thing, thinking their own minds, without any thought to God, and then all of a sudden, something happens, and all of a sudden people start softening. That's what God uses them for. He's telling these apostles, there's going to be various places, there's going to be famines and earthquakes, verse 8. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. I mean, you know what? These things happen, and you know what grows out of it? Trouble for God's people. The world hates God's people. And whenever, you know, if I teach a lesson like this and people in the world hear it and they say, you can't tell me God is there. You know, that's what he's saying. And then all of a sudden, we become the hated. You can't tell me God's doing this. That's what he says. And you know what he's telling his apostles here? You're going to be killed. You're going to be in tribulations, problems, troubles, you're going to be hated because of me. And in that process, there's going to be many fall away. Yep. You know what he uses trials and tribulations for, difficulties? Sometimes it's to clean out the church. Because we've got a lot of uncommitted people in the church. A lot of people who are playing too many games. And so here he's letting these apostles know many will fall away. They're going to betray one another. They're going to hate one another. Yeah, that's going to be the result. And not only that, look at verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. You know what comes out of tribulations and out of problems? Oh, devil's not finished either. He's going to how false prophets arise, and you know what? There's going to be a lot of false people or people misled by false prophets into other things, other teaching. Oh, it happens. Oh, devil's not. He's using these times too. And he's letting the apostles know this is what's going to happen beforehand. But not only that, look at verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Lawlessness. You know, when we're talking about being lawless, it means you won't let God govern you. You won't let God make your decisions. You won't let God tell you this is the way it is. You got your own agenda. That's lawless. You know what happens through these tribulation times? You know when things get difficult? Lawlessness is going to increase. You know what happens when lawlessness increases? Love grows cold. You want to know why people's love for the church, people's love for one another grows cold? They're practicing more lawlessness. And so he says, you know what's coming before Jerusalem's destroyed? Yeah, there's going to be a cold love out of it. And he goes in to verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Here's these disasters. Here's these changes. Here's the events that come in life. Bad things are going to come and going to happen. But what do you have to do? One thing is needed: to be faithful to the Lord to the end. If you're going to come out saved in the end, you've got to concern yourself with the things of the Lord now. And when the difficulty hits, it's time for prayer, it's time for meditation, it's time for doing things that pleases the Lord and not worry about what you're going through, because you're the chosen. And you have to remember that. If you want to be saved in the end, you've got to be faithful to the Lord. You can't be wishy-washy about this stuff. Verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. After that gospel is preached, that's when the end is coming. Not the end of time. The end of the destruction of Jerusalem. And we go to places like Romans 16:26 or Colossians 2:23. And you know what Paul says in those verses? The kingdom of the gospel was preached to all creation in the first century. In the 60s, the gospel was spoken to every person on the face of the earth. And in A.D. 70, Jerusalem came down. You know what God's doing when He has this gospel still being preached? He's still trying to give people an opportunity to respond. Most don't care. But God does. And so there was this continuation up until the destruction of Jerusalem. There was a time in the history of people that every man on the face of the earth and every woman heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now people want to fault God today that people are lost. It's not God's fault. Man just doesn't care. And so when bad things happen to you and me, it's not loss. It's helping me get better and more pure. It's helping me get rid of these dead elements in my life. And I shouldn't ever despair about it. I need to know I'm favored and God's working everything for my betterment. We'll come back to 1 Peter. We're part of the chosen. Look at verse 1 again. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. Verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest. When bad things happen, there are three powerful hands at work on behalf of the chosen. Three. And I want you to get them. First, he says at the first part of verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The second one, the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And the third one, Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. These are the three powerful hands at work for the chosen. And you and I have got to put some faith in that when things go bad in our life. It's not over. It's not loss. We've got things going on we can't see with a naked eye. First thing he says is that the foreknowledge of God the Father. The knowledge of God the Father. Let me take you through some verses real quick and we'll close this up. Come back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. When we talk about the foreknowledge of God, the Father, you know God knows everything that's going to happen ahead of time. You go back and read in Genesis. You know what God already had worked out from Genesis death of Jesus. Yeah, 1 Peter 1:20, he tells us that Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. God foreknows everything. Nothing is sneaking up on God. Nothing is getting past God. God foreknows everything. And so because of the foreknowledge of God that He knows everything before it happens, I mean, how did Agabus know there's going to be a worldwide famine? How did Jesus know that there's going to be earthquakes and wars and all of those things? God knows! He's got the foreknowledge of that. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 7. He says, "And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words." The chosen. When you pray, don't use meaningless repetition. Stop that nonsense. Use words that have meaning to God from you. And he says, you know what? He says, they suppose, talking about the Gentiles, the outsiders, they suppose they're going to be heard for their many words. Yeah, we suppose a lot of things. And that's not the reality. He said, I tell you what, when you pray to God, it doesn't have to be flowery. Use words that have meaning from you to God. Not just a bunch of repetitious words that have no meaning. But then go on to the next verse, verse 8. "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." You have the work of the foreknowledge of God, and you know what God knows when we go to Him in prayer? He knows what you need even before you ask. There's the foreknowledge of God! When bad things happen, God knows exactly what you need. He knew it before you went through it, before you came up on it. And you know when we pray, He knows what you need. That's one of the powerful things about God. I know exactly what you need, even before you get to that point. So you know what? If God knows what we need, He knows what's coming. He knows what we need to get through it. And we need to be faithful to God in it. And it needs to mean something. See, when bad things happen, the foreknowledge of God the Father is at work. Because it's not sneaking up on Him. He knows what's coming. Well, the second thing that he talked about in 1 Peter 1:2, not only the foreknowledge of God the Father, but the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The sanctifying work. The Spirit is at work to make you and I more holy. You know, talking a moment ago when we were talking about when bad things happen, God's trying to remove evil elements out of our lives. When bad things happen to us, you know what we generally do? We get more focused on the things of the Lord than we've been before. Don't we? Well, God's trying to send a message. Why does it take bad things to get you focused? But that's the way it needs to be. That's what it'll be. You and I need to understand what the Spirit's part in this thing. Come over to 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm trying to move fast for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look real quick at the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Look at verse 4. Look at what he says to the church here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." God the Father is the source of everything. That's why we have the foreknowledge of God the Father. Well, here in verse 6, he talks about the varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things. God decides the effects. If you look back at verse 5, the varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Jesus carries out the ministries that's needed. And then you have in verse 4, varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one that's carrying out the spiritual gifts that are needed to get us through whatever it is, whether or not we're talking about in the assembly, which what He's addressing here, or in our lives. The Spirit has many different gifts and many different goals, and He's working to do one thing. I want to help you to holiness. So when bad things happen, the Spirit of God's there to help you get better and stronger at being holy. We don't like that word, because that means we got to give up us. And that's exactly what you need to give up, because us got us separated. Now we're the chosen, the foreknowledge of God at work, the sanctifying part of the Spirit, making us better at being holy. He's at work. And then you have the third hand at work in our lives, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. That's the third element. Come over to Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. Sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. He says this, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood." He says, to Him who loves us. He doesn't say loved past. The love of Jesus isn't just from the cross. The love of Jesus is now. And you and I need to grasp that the love of Jesus is now for us in our lives. And when bad things happen, it does not stop the love of Jesus for you. When bad things happen to your children, it doesn't stop your love for them. Oh, they're going through it, but you still love them. Well, the same thing with Jesus. He loves us, and He's working, and it may be even life-threatening for us. But brethren, what are we here for anyway? Are we here to live out our life on this earth, or is our life for eternity? Well, we say eternity. I love You to bring you to that. Bad things happen. Never forget My love for you. But what do we do with it many times? I've heard people that they'll say, well, if He really loved me, He wouldn't let this happen. Whoa, where did you get that? We've been reading about bad things happening to the chosen and what He's doing. He loves us. And notice the end of verse 5. And released us from our sins by His blood. God, in His foreknowledge, is working on your behalf. He knows what you need. The Holy Spirit is at work trying to make you more holy through these difficult times. And the blood of Jesus keeps you clean and pure and saved. They're all three elements are working. Now here's what we tend to do. And this reveals to how little we know about Jesus. Bad things will happen to us. And the next thing we do, we bow our head and we start thinking, do you think God's punishing me for my past sins? What kind of game are we playing? Are you saying you never trusted the blood of Jesus to begin with? If you and I have been released from our sins, why in the world would He punish you for your sins? Jesus' blood is sprinkled on those. And you can't sit there unless you're not being honest between you and the Lord and you're playing some game. The blood of Jesus has paid our punishment.
And if you and I, when bad things happen and we question the Lord and the relationship with the Lord, we don't see the blood of Jesus at work right now. Oh my. We forget, don't we? We forget. And if you don't see the blood of Jesus sprinkled on all of your sins and released you, when difficulties hit, you will never see the work of God the Father and His foreknowledge for you, and you will never see the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And you will sit down at your chair at home or your couch, and you will sit there and you will lament and cry, "Oh, poor me!" Because you've lost it all. See the three elements, the three hands that are working for us? And when you don't see those things, fears begin to control. And you begin to be intimidated. And fears start dictating to your heart and your life what to do. You've lost sight of eternity. And so Peter writes this book. And he said, here's what's happening. You're still the chosen. You still got the foreknowledge of God at work and the sanctifying work of the Spirit and the blood of Jesus sprinkled to keep you cleansed and holy. One more word and I'm quitting. Look back at 1 Peter 1, verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Obey Jesus Christ. When bad things happen, you've got to obey Jesus. And that should be our focus. Whenever you're being slandered and talked about as evil, obey Jesus. Whenever things get difficult, obey Jesus. Whenever things come pouring on you and you say, I just can't carry anymore, get your eyes off of you and obey Jesus. And look at the work that He's doing on your behalf. And if we've got to go through conflicts, if we've got to go through earthquakes, if we've got to go through famines, whatever we have to go through on this earth, obey Jesus. Because that's for eternity. Yeah, has a purpose. Well, thank you for being attentive and patient. Working on this for 2 weeks. And I wanted you to hear it. May God bless us, and I pray that you're honest and sincere in your heart. When bad things come into your life, make the right response. Not the wrong response. The right response. And God's guaranteed. You are blessed. If we'll believe it.